We are in part five of our series entitled When We Move to Our Heavenly Home, and this is the lesson that everybody longs for. This is the lesson on the rapture. That's where we left off in part number four. We left off there saying whether we are here during the rapture or whether we are in heaven at the time of the rapture, it doesn't matter. Both of us in both places, either here or here on earth or in heaven, we are going to be taking part in the rapture. But in my letter to Kay, I called it the receiving of the bride. So, picking up with my letter with Kay, it says this. After the Father gives the word for the Lord to take His bride from the earth, an angel will announce it with a shout to all of the heavens. We are not told for sure, but all the church on earth will probably hear it too. The rebellious lost on earth who have rejected the gospel message of the Lord will probably not hear the screech of the archangel. His voice will sound like a trumpet blast. Then the Lord will leave the holy city. You and I will be with Him as He leaves heaven. Together we will come and hover over the earth. That's in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 14 through 18. Now we come to that time that we all wanted to experience while we were here on earth as members of the bride. We call it that rapture, as I said. But in my letter, I called it, as I said, the resurrecting of the body. And here's what I said to Kay. Suddenly, all the buried bodies of all those who have accepted the Lord since His resurrection from His grave will be resurrected in the form of perfect spiritual bodies of flesh and bone, just like the body of Jesus when He was resurrected. Our physical bodies will be resurrected from the grave, rising to rejoin our souls in the air to reside in our white robes. 1 Thessalonians 4, 14 through 18. Perfect bodies. That is what the scripture means when it says the dead in Christ will rise first. The dust of our old decayed bodies will be transformed and meet up with each of us in the air with the Lord. Before moving on, I want to address one thing that I did not address in the letter to Kay, and that is this. It is the topic of cremation. There are many preachers and teachers who hold that cremation is a desecration of the body, and therefore the person cannot go to heaven to be with the Lord. Let us think about that from two perspectives. First, the physical, and second, the spiritual. First, the physical property of our bodies. The scripture tells us that once we die, our bodies will return to the earth as it was. Our bodies rot and turn back into dust, the dirt of the ground from which our bodies originated when God created Adam. Then, for those of you who have heard of a compost bin, you know what happens. You take stuff that's rotting flesh, rotting dead vegetation and whatever, and you place it in that bin, and all that stuff that was once alive, and the compost begins to generate great heat even in the coldest winter months. The rotting process is a burning process that eliminates all the moisture in the material and causes the material to decay and, if not used for food for plants, will eventually turn cold to dry dust. Even as food for plants, it will turn cold to dry dust. Think about that. Think about cremation now. It is the same process of burning away the moisture in the body and turning it quickly to cold, dry dust. One is a slow process, the other is a quick process. But in reality, they are the same process because heat is involved in both of them. The end result is the same. Now, for the spiritual property of this and that side, we can argue all day long about the people in the Old Testament that were cremated. Specifically, we could argue about King Saul, and we can squabble about his rebellion to the Lord, and we can wonder if the Lord granted him access to heaven as with others such as Samuel. We know Samuel's with the Lord. We don't know about Saul, King Saul. But let's not discuss King Saul. Let's discuss King Saul's son, Jonathan. The book of 1 Samuel paints Jonathan as one of the most wonderful godly men of his time. In addition, he was the best friend of David. He loved David. He protected David. He served David. But on the day of King Saul's death, Jonathan was with him fighting that battle against the Philistines, and Jonathan died too in battle, along with two more of his brothers. They were all cremated. Now, just for the thinking practice, I must ask this question. Are you going to tell me that the cremation of Jonathan's body forfeited him his entrance into heaven? Personally, I think not. If it did not forfeit Jonathan's entrance into heaven or his brothers, it would not and cannot forfeit the entrance to heaven for someone who is cremated today. Why? It cannot because the Lord is fair and just, and He's a fair and just God who never changes across all the ages. In addition, the body is only a tool used by the soul while the soul lives here on earth. It is the soul that sins, not the clay of the body. Although the soul used the body to sin, but it is still the soul that sins, not the body. Therefore, when the soul is taken from the body, there is no longer any importance for the way the body is disposed of, because in the end, no matter how it is disposed, it will turn to dust. Whether it's in the casket, whether it's in a sheet in the ground, whether it's cremated and spread across the ocean or across a piece of land, cremation is an appropriate way to dispose of the body. Now let's just kind of sum this up. What we're talking about here is in the ground when we come from heaven with the Lord at the rapture for the receiving of the bride. And all the church is here on earth. Those of us who are with the Lord, our bodies will be dust in the ground. That dust will come up first and be resurrected. No matter where it's from, the Lord will bring it back together, pull it back together, and make a glorified body for each of us that is recognizable, just like His body was recognizable. Now, after all the resurrection of the saints are already with the Lord, and that will probably include us, we will then see the living saints still on earth begin to rise into the air, defying all the laws of gravity. And at that moment, their bodies will be transformed into glorious resurrected bodies with their souls, with their new white robes, with their new knowledge, and they will rise to meet the Lord in the air. The Scripture says, those who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. Those saints who will be alive at the time of this event will not have to go through the process or the portal of death. They will simply rise into the air and be transformed. However, it will be the Lord who has come to receive them, just as the Lord will come to receive you and me at the time of our death. It will be the Lord who comes to receive them when it's time for the rapture. Now let us set the scene again so we know exactly what will happen. When the Father gives the word, the archangel will sound like a trumpet blasting the news. The Lord of all of us who have already gone to heaven will descend from heaven into the atmosphere of the earth, where all of the dust of the bodies from all the centuries since the Lord was resurrected will begin to gather together from wherever they are scattered and are transformed into lifeless, catch that, lifeless but still glorified bodies that will rise to meet with their souls coming with us from heaven. You will receive your resurrected and glorified body, and I will receive mine. It will be a perfect body that will enter into your white robe and come to live with your soul. It will come to life when your soul takes it in that white robe. The Spirit of the Lord will not be needed to animate this glorified body, because it will be the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. Paul says it like this: but if the same Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who dwells in you. Romans 8:11. When your body gets to your soul, at that point it comes to life. Now, you've already been acting like you've had a body, but you've just been a spirit. Your soul has been acting like a spirit inside that robe. That is a promise you can hold on to, whether or not you go to be with the Lord before the rapture or you go to be with the Lord at the rapture. Okay, now we come to the marriage in the holy city. Back to the holy city we will travel with the Lord, back to heaven for the marriage ceremony. It will be a grand time with all the true members of the church, from the new believers still alive at the resurrection of the Lord until the time the Lord snatches the church away from the earth. We will all be part of that wonderful time, and you and I will see it all transpire from our point of view back in heaven, and from our point of view when we come through the atmosphere, and from our point of view when we return to heaven. More than that, we will participate in the celebration with all the saints of all time who belong to the church, the bride of Christ. We will hear her voice from the throne speak to us, and we will join in one great multitude in heaven, just as John says, "And a voice came from the throne saying, 'Give praise to our God, all you His bondservants, you who fear Him, the small and the great.' Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, 'Hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns.'" Revelation 19:1-6. The marriage in the holy city will be a wonderful time where the Lord will give many gifts to everyone who is part of His bride. He has many gifts to give you. So with that thought, we come to the topic in the letter, the giving of the gifts in the holy city. The Bible calls the time when the Lord will give gifts to His bride the judgment seat of Christ. Of course, you will already have your robe of white and your crown of life. Those two gifts are provided when you transition from this earth to heaven. But at the judgment seat, you, me, and every other saint that is part of the bride will receive more gifts at this special time with the Lord. We have already mentioned this, but the Lord will give you the gift to being able to eat the fruit and the vegetation from the tree of life. Revelation 2:7. We have also already mentioned that He will give you a crown of life. Revelation 2:10. In addition, a special gift will be a promise. You will not be hurt by the second death that will occur when the Lord holds His great white throne judgment in about 1,000 years, Revelation 2:11, or about one day in heaven's time. Moreover, besides the fruit and vegetation from the tree of life, the Lord will provide some of the hidden manna, the same food He fed to the nation of Israel while they were in the wilderness. He will also give you a little white stone with your new name written on it. No one will know the name except you. Revelation 2:17. Do you remember hearing the old gospel song, "There's a new name written up in glory, and it's mine. Oh yes, it's mine." Okay. Revelation 2:17 is where that song thought comes from. Now comes an interesting gift. The Lord will give you authority over nations. Revelation 2:26. You will need this authority when you return to earth with the Lord at the Battle of Armageddon to help the Lord manage humans still on earth for 1,000 years. Yes, you will have a job in the Lord's organization because you are part of His bride. But after this marriage, you will be part of His wife. And you will help Him the way a wife helps her husband. Along with the authority, the Lord will give you the morning star, Revelation 2:28. What is that gift? It is the presence of the Lord living inside of you. He is the bright and morning star, and He will live inside of you for all eternity, even in heaven. You will be dressed in your beautiful white garment that the Lord will give you, Revelation 3:5, and a special gift will be granted that He will not erase your name from the book of life, in Revelation 3:5. Now let me pause here to address one misquoted biblical concept which applies to the names recorded in the book of life. All names of every human born on this earth from the time of creation through all eternity, those names were written in the book of life from before the Lord did His creation process. Those names were already there before He created this earth. About this list in the book of life, the Bible speaks about names being blotted out or erased from the book of life. Revelation 3:5 says this, "He who overcomes will thus be clothed in white garments, and I will not erase his name from the book of life, and I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels." Revelation 3:5. As we mentioned before in this series, the path from birth to eternity is not a straight line. At some point in a person's life, no matter where they live and what culture they're in and what religions are around them, that person will come to a fork in the road where he or she will have to make a decision to choose eternal life with the Lord or eternal life without the Lord. That decision must be made here on earth. It cannot be made after earthly death. Just as with the thief hanging to the right side of Jesus on the cross, it is never too late to make that decision as long as you have the Spirit of life or the breath of life with inside of you. Where am I headed with this? Here's where I'm headed. The point that seems right in light of this Revelation verse and the example of the thief on the cross is that the names are not erased from the book of life until the spirit of life leaves your body and your soul leaves your body of clay. At that instance, your soul goes to its eternal home, either with the Lord or without the Lord. And if it is without the Lord, your name will be erased. Only the people with their names secured in the book of life will have eternal life with the Lord. How do you secure it there? By accepting the Lord as your Savior. Why? Because according to Revelation 3:5, the Lord will only announce the names of those whose names are in the book of life to the Father and all the angels. For you and for me, that announcement will happen at the throne of the Father when we arrive there on our moving day. Now back to my letter to where you and I picked up and said next about this topic, your name not being erased from the book of life. As special as that will be, I'm talking about your name being in the book of life, the Lord will also announce to God the Father and all the angels in heaven that you belong to Him, Revelation 3:5. To add to all those blessings, you will always be with the Lord in His presence and He in you. In heaven, you will not see a temple because the Lord is the temple. You will be a pillar in that temple, Revelation 3:12. That means you will be a strong and mighty part of the Lord's organization wherever He is. And wherever He is, you will be. On your forehead, three special names will be written. The first is the name of God the Father, the Ancient of Days. The second is the name of His city, the New Jerusalem, which is the home of God the Father. The third is the new name of the Lord. We will have to wait until that day to learn the Lord's new name, Revelation 3:12. Then the Lord will give you the privilege to sit down by my throne, He says. What a gift. To sit on the throne with your King of Kings, Lord of Lords, the Creator and Savior, Revelation 3:31, nothing in the world could ever compare to the gifts the Lord will give you. Now the Lord will remember all that you did while here on earth. It is all written in the Book of Remembrance, Malachi 3:16. He will use this book so each person can receive what they should, as they will be paid according to whatever they had either right or wrong when they lived in this earthly body. 1 Corinthians 5:10. And in so doing, He will honor the people of His bride who are now His wife with crowns. Five crowns will be given to the people who did His work here on earth. The incorruptible crown will be given to those who had victory over the world's sins, the sins of the flesh, and the temptations of evil, 1 Corinthians 9:25. The crown of rejoicing will be given to those who win souls for Christ, 1 Thessalonians 2:19. The crown of life will be given to those who endure the pain of this world and remain faithful to Christ. It is also called the crown of eternal life, James 1:12, Revelation 2:10. Everyone who is part of the bride and becomes this wife or has this crown, you will get yours when the Lord takes you from this world. Then there's the crown of glory. It will be given to those who shepherd the flock of the Lord here on earth, 1 Peter 5:4. And finally, the crown of righteousness will be given to those who had hope in the second coming of the Lord, 2 Timothy 4:8. Well, I guess all my fanatical friends will get that crown also. Because you belong to me and I am a minister of God's Word, You will have a special treat when the gifts are given out. You will receive all the gifts you deserve, and you will also receive all the gifts that I deserve as an extra bonus. The Lord said this, "He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward." Matthew 10:41. All of my rewards will be yours too, but I will not be gifted your rewards. And at the end of the judgment seat of Christ, all will be wonderful in heaven with the Lord, but things on earth will be in such a sad state that only the visual presence of the Lord can correct all the wrong of all the ages. The Lord's elect nation of Israel is finally ready to be faithful to Him as it never truly was since the day that He chose it to be the bloodline that He would be born into as a babe. It will be time for His second coming to rescue Israel. You and I, along with all the saints of all the ages, will come with Him, prepared with our assignments in His organization for our faithful work on earth. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Revelation 19:7-8.